What would be the effect on a person of a 20-year diet of you? Because that's what marriage is. Is the diet of your love nourishing her soul, or is she living on the meager rations of your cold heart?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm David Pick. I'm glad you could be with us today. And Colin, that is a sobering question, and I think rather a sad one today. So for all of us who try to answer that question honestly, and if we find that the diet you describe isn't what it should be and what we want it to be, I'm hoping we'll find today that we can change that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it's a really important question to be asking from time to time. What is it like for this other person to live with me? Here, God has trusted this person to me and me to this person who is my spouse. What is it like for that person to live with me? And the analogies of the scripture that we're going to look at today, speaking about feeding as if the diet of another person was derived from the one who is alongside them in life, as if the washing of a person's life were in the life of the one who is alongside them. I found these to be very, very searching things. What is the effect? And that drives us back to the Lord to be able to say, I want to be someone who is nourishing to the one God has given to me. I want to be someone whose influence is refreshing to the one God has given to me. And that I must pursue, and for that I must seek the grace of God. Yeah. So this is really practical, and God's speaking to us about it in the Bible. It's a wonderful, wonderful theme.
And he speaks to us about this in Ephesians chapter 5, so I hope you'll join us in your Bibles as we continue the message, Gospel-Shaped Marriage. Here is Colin.
What I want to do in our time today is to pick up on three pictures in Ephesians chapter 5 and very simply to apply them to our lives. The first picture, and I hope you have your Bible open at Ephesians 5, you'll see it there in verse 8. Indeed, it runs right through from verse 8 to 14. It's the picture of light. You were once darkness, verse 8, but now you are light in the Lord. This is a wonderful statement. And Paul is writing here to every Christian. And he says, whatever your circumstance of life, if you are indeed in Jesus Christ, you are light. Think of it this way. The moon has no light of its own. But when the sun shines on the moon reflects that light. The sun gives light, as it were, to the moon, so that we may indeed move in the light of the moon, and we may receive light even when the sun is hidden from us. Now, that's the calling, of course, of every Christian believer. Christ's light, Paul says, has shined on you. And because his light has shined on you, your life is to reflect that light so that when the light of Christ is hidden from other people, they may be able to see a reflection of that light in you because he's shined on you. You are light in the Lord. Now, of course, there are different kinds of light. There is light that draws, and there is light that repels. Light can shine on a path in such a way that it draws you. It makes you want to move forward in that direction. It's a beautiful thing. But light can also be used by a torturer in a way that shines into your eyes and repels you and fills you with fear and makes you want to withdraw. Now, in the context of marriage, you live in another person's light. Your light surrounds the person God has placed next to you. The question is, what kind of light are you shining? See, in marriage, you become known. And that's wonderful because we're made in the image of God. We want to be known. It's also a bit scary because we're fallen and we don't want everything about us to be known. You are exposed in marriage in another person's light. My wife knows me. I'll tell you, I am thankful for the gentleness of her light. And I want to ask this question. What kind of light are you to your wife, to your husband? If you're not married, what kind of light are you to your colleagues at work? What kind of light are you, if you're a parent, to your children? Nobody wants to live in a searchlight, right? And frankly, that's one reason why a lot of hiding goes on in marriage. There is light that attracts, and there is light that repels. What kind of light are you? The kind of light that would draw him forward in openness, or cause him to close up and shrink back? The kind of light that draws her trust? The kind of light that makes her shrivel up and close down? All the difference in the world. Now, that's the first image. It's the image of light. Here's the second one, and it's the picture of water. Look at verse 25 and 26, please. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. A Christian believer is someone who has been washed in Jesus Christ. In fact, the way the Bible describes it, we are really plunged into him. You can think of it this way, that Jesus Christ is the bath in which we are washed clean. And all of this, of course, is beautifully pictured for every Christian in baptism. Jesus Christ makes us clean. But more than that, Jesus Christ keeps us clean. There is a sense in which a Christian believer remains in the bath all of your Christian life. You are in Christ and always being washed. The church is always being washed until it will finally be presented in the presence of God without fault and with great joy. Now, Paul takes up that picture, and what he's saying is this in the context of marriage. Just as Christ cleanses the church, so you husbands need to have a cleansing, sanctifying effect upon your wives, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word. Now, when you are married, two people become one. Think of it this way. Your life is the water in which your wife bathes. Wives, your life is the water in which your husband bathes. What's in you will wash off on him. What's in him will wash off on you. This is a very powerful picture, the washing with water. Now, remember that just as there are different kinds of light, there are different kinds of water. I grew up in the city of Edinburgh on the east coast of Scotland, as most of you know. There are a few strips of beach there, but not much sun, and so it's not a great deal of use. Buried deep in the beach, that was fairly close to our home, there was a large sewer pipe that went under the beach and then several miles out into the water and discharged itself eventually at length into the North Sea. I remember vividly an occasion when the pipe broke fairly near to the shore. I remember as a kid being down there near the beach and seeing that the whole beach was fenced off and there were these signs put there in the sand that said, "No swimming." I mean, a more unnecessary sign, I have to say, there never was. With a smell that was coming off the water, I cannot imagine how anyone in their right mind would even have thought of the idea of swimming there. Now listen, let me ask you this question to the men. What kind of water are you for your wife to bathe in? If she were to bathe in your waters for 20 years, Would she come out strengthened and invigorated or soiled and infected? Guys, if you are looking for a motivation to give up pornography, it's right here, right now. And I say this today because it is evidently such a widespread issue among us. You are the water in which your wife bathes. No one wants to swim in dirty water. Fill your life with that stuff, and she will feel that she is the object of your lust rather than of your love. Your life will be like dirty water, and no one would want to swim there. There's a vicious circle that can strangle a marriage, and often it does. It goes like this. He says, well, there is impurity, but the reason is that there's no intimacy. She says, well, there's no intimacy, but the reason is that there is impurity. Now, somewhere in the goodness of God, that cycle has to be broken for the rebuilding of many marriages. And your commitment today can begin that process. Paul really nails this one in verse 3. Look at that, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Do you see it there? Among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Chapter 5, verse 3. There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. But I want you to notice what he says next in the next three words. Not even a hint of sexual immorality or of greed. Very interesting connection. Or of greed. I want to pause there for a moment, just in case some of the women are feeling smug as if only men were sinners. You know women are sinners too? My wife has censored this message and approved it for congregational consumption for women and for men. She always does, by the way. What kind of water are you for your husband to swim in? Greed, which Paul puts right next to impurity, and he does it for a reason. Greed is another kind of lust. Greed is an I want that is never satisfied. I want this sink ripped out. I want the new counter to look just like the one I saw in the magazine. And then I want, and then I want, and then I want. You are the water in which your husband bathes. And what will be the effect on him of 20 years of this I want lifestyle? This is something that has to be said in our culture today, we believe. You are the water in which your husband bathes. And the Bible has a word for constant demands that never seem to be satisfied, that could leave a man feeling that nothing he ever does is ever enough. And that Bible word is greed. Among you, there must be not even a hint of any kind of impurity or of greed. Now you see, this is a classic his and hers verse. The scripture cuts both ways. It always does. It always will. There are two kinds of lust. One is called impurity. The other is called greed. The one is as destructive to love as the other.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Gospel-Shaped Marriage. I hope you'll stay with us for the rest of this broadcast. Colin will be back in a moment to talk more about this and to lead us in prayer. Open the Bible goes out 5 days a week on the radio, and also it's available anytime on the internet. And some of our listeners are in UK prisons. If that is you, we're so glad that our Bible teaching encourages you. Here's a comment from one prisoner who recently wrote to us. I like Colin Smith's messages because he explains the Bible in a way which is easy to grasp and makes you want to dig deeper. Thank you so much for that feedback. We really appreciate it. If you ever want to write to us at Open the Bible, we really welcome contact with you. You can write to us at Open the Bible, P.O. Box 1420, Cheltenham, GL50, 9PG. That address again, Open the Bible, P.O. Box 1420, Cheltenham, GL50, 9PG. Back to the message now. Here again is Colin.
So the light on your path, the water in which you swim. Here's the third thing, the food that you eat. Verse 29, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. So we're back to the template again. The template is that Christ feeds and cares for the church, and this is to be the model for the relationship between husband and wife. Christ feeds his people. Now, just as the washing that is ours in Christ is beautifully pictured in baptism, so the feeding that is ours in Christ, of course, is beautifully pictured in communion. Christ is the bread of life. We feed on him by faith. He's our food. He nourishes us to everlasting life. But just as there are different kinds of light and different kinds of water, there are obviously different kinds of food. And your diet will affect your health, right? Confession. I went to the doctor last month. Nothing wrong with me, feeling great, hadn't been for a long, long time, and so with a little encouragement, I decided to go. He did a blood test, I got a letter. A few days later, your cholesterol is too high. Change your diet. So no more Chicago beef sandwiches or chili cheese fries for me. If you want to live well, eat healthy. What is true of the body is true for the soul. And the communion service reminds us that a healthy life is one that is fed on Jesus Christ by faith. It's sustained, it's nourished, it's strengthened by him. And Paul says, now, you're to love your wife, husband, as Christ loves the church. And what that means is the way that you feed and care for your wife as Christ feeds and cares for his church. So I ask you this question. What would be the effect on a person of a 20-year diet of you? Because that's what marriage is. However many years. What are you feeding your wife? What are you feeding your husband? Is it a diet of criticism or praise? Is it a diet of affection or indifference? Are you building up her confidence or are you pulling her down? Are you fostering his following after Christ or holding him back? Is the diet of your love nourishing her soul or is she living on the meager rations of your cold heart? What kind of light are you to live in? What kind of water are you to bathe in? What kind of food are you to live on? Now, here's the deal. If you are going to bring light to another person, you need Jesus Christ to be your light. It's the only way you can do it. Because you don't have light of your own. It will be his light in you that will bring light into your marriage. If you're going to be like clean water for another person, you need Jesus Christ to wash you clean. There's no other way. You're not clean in and of yourself only as he washes you. If you are to bring strength and nourishment to another person, you need Jesus Christ to nourish you. How else in all the world are you going to do this over a lifetime? You need to live in his light. You need to wash in his water. You need to be nourished by his food. You need to be filled with Christ's love so that you will have renewed and replenished love to give to another person. Which is precisely Paul's point in verse 1. Live a life of love. How? Just as Christ loved us. You see, you take out the Christ loved us and you've no idea as to how to live a life of love. Because the only way to do it is by receiving his love for you. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us. He is love, the source. That's why we've taken the theme, you see, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. And I guess right now that all over this sanctuary, there are husbands and there are wives and there are folks living alone who are saying, I need the Lord to build my house. I need his light. I need his washing. And I need his food.
You've been listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Gospel-Shaped Marriage, part of our series, Unless the Lord Builds the House. Don't forget, if you ever miss one of our messages, you can easily catch up or go back and listen again online at our website, openthebible.org.uk, or on your favourite podcast site. Search for Open the Bible UK or follow the link from our website. Open the Bible is able to stay on this station and on the internet as a result of generous donations by our listeners. And if you already give to support Open the Bible, thank you so much. This month, if you want to begin to support Open the Bible financially, in return, we'd love to say thank you by sending you two copies of Pastor Colin's book, Christmas Stories, along with five Christmas cards with illustrations from the book. Full details, terms and conditions are on our website, openthebible.org.uk. Today, Colin talked about that vicious circle which can really strangle a marriage. The husband says there's impurity because there's no intimacy, and the wife says there's no intimacy because of impurity. There may be some couples listening today, Colin, who are ready to break this cycle.
Isn't that a wonderful moment to come to? And by the grace of God, there can be change for both parties and wonderful blessing and wonderful hope. And if you're at that place today of saying, I want to break the cycle, boy, I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment and of asking of Christ right now. If you're a husband, join me in making this prayer your prayer. If you're a wife, then turn it round and make it your prayer in relation to your husband as well as to yourself. But let's come before the Lord together now. Almighty God, thank you for giving me the gift of marriage. Bless my wife and make me a blessing to her. Be my light so that I may bring light to her. Wash me clean so that I may be pure for her. Feed me so that I may bring strength to her. And fill me with your love so that my love for her may overflow. Today, Lord, I resolve to live in your light, in your purity, and in the nourishment of your word. So help me, God, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Colin, for leading us in that prayer today. We'll continue with our series, Unless the Lord Builds a House, next time on Open the Bible. For Open the Bible and Pastor Colin Smith, I'm David Pick, and I look forward to you joining us again next time. Thousands of kids made a decision, but it turned out to be a religious phase that didn't lead to a life of following Christ. Find out why next time on Open the Bible.